you believe it? It just seems like the other day, some of us were battening down the hatches, preparing for Y2K, and now it's already 2020. By God's grace, we've finished two decades in the 21st century. Well, welcome to this year of vision, the year of our Lord 2020. And I would think that at least our ophthalmology and optometry colleagues should be reveling in the number 2020. Well, this is an exciting opportunity for me as your host, Dr. Mike Chupp, the CEO of CMDA, to welcome you today to the very first weekly podcast of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations, which we are calling CMDA Matters. Each week on Thursday, we're planning on releasing the program on iTunes or Google Play and on the web, an interview on an important topic that matters to you as a Christian healthcare professional. I'm also excited because our very first guest on this inaugural CMDA Matters is one of the most recognized Christian voices on the radio in the last 40 years, Dr. James Dobson. Well, before I get to that interview with Dr. Dobson, I wanted to share with you some important CMDA-sponsored conferences coming up in the next couple of months. Because healthcare right of conscience is such a critical topic right now, we've joined Dallas Theological Seminary and the Christian Legal Society to co-host a one-day summit on healthcare right of conscience. That's going to happen on Leap Day, February 29th, at the Northwest Bible Church in Dallas, Texas. We have three veteran CMDA members who will be speaking from a medical context. Dr. Farr Curlin, a professor at Duke University, will be joined by Dr. Donna Harrison, the president of APLOG, and Dr. Andre Von Maul, who is one of the leading voices in America today as a family physician on issues of transgender health care. The summit will be focusing on issues of gender and sexuality, beginning of life care, as well as end of life care. You don't want to miss it. So please go to cmda.org, our website, to find out more information, as well as to register for this one-day summit in Dallas. Well, especially in light of my very special guest today, I want to mention two different marriage enrichment weekends sponsored by our Marriage Enrichment Commission at CMDA. The first will be from January 24th to 26th in Palm Coast, Florida. This marriage weekend is specifically focused on female healthcare professionals and their spouses. The second weekend is also in Palm Coast, Florida, from February 7th through the 9th. This Marriage Enrichment Weekend is open to all healthcare professionals and their spouses. You can go to cmda.org/marriage to find out more about these conferences and to register. My guest today to kick off the new year 2020 is none other than Dr. James Dobson. He's the founder of Focus on the Family Ministries, author of enough books to fill up a bookcase in my and your libraries, advisor to several U.S. presidents on issues impacting the American family, and one incredibly faithful counselor and teacher on Christian radio who helped my wife Pam and I raise our family. I was thrilled when Dr. Dobson and his team in Colorado Springs agreed to do this interview today. Let's get right to my conversation with Dr. Dobson, founder of Family Talk. Well, our motto at CMDA for many years has been changing hearts in healthcare, and today it's my immense privilege to welcome to the program a leader and a voice that's currently being heard on over 1,300 radio outlets daily, and at one point in time in his ministry was being heard by 220 million people every day. I was one of those people. He possibly, more than anyone else I've known in my lifetime, has been changing hearts in the family. And so I welcome today to the program Dr. James Dobson, founder and president of the James Dobson Family Institute. Welcome, Dr. Dobson.
Dr. Chupp, it is a real honor for me to talk to you all. I have such great respect for CMDA and the work that you do. I really appreciated Dr. Stevens and his era. I understand that he's on a sabbatical now.
Yes, he is.
Well, you give him my regards, and it's a pleasure to get better acquainted with you.
Thank you. Well, tell us about your family, Dr. Dobson. I think our members, our listeners would be interested to hear how Shirley, your wife, have you reached or passed the 50th wedding anniversary yet?
Oh, my goodness. We've been around a while. We celebrated our 59th recently,
wow.
And we think it's going to work.
And they said it wouldn't last.
Yeah, they said it wouldn't last.
Now, Dr. Dobson, I had an opportunity several years ago. I served in Kenya for a number of years at Temuk Hospital, and I hadn't been there but just a few years when Danae actually came out and visited our hospital in southwest Kenya, and I had the opportunity to meet your daughter, Danae.
You know, she's a special lady. She has written 24 books, most of them for children.
Wow.
and teenagers. And she is the chief editor for Family Talk. So no one writes anything here that she doesn't approve, because she is a grammarian and a good writer. She often finds errors in my writing, so I'm very proud of her.
To this day, her words are still ringing in my ears, Dr. Dobson. And I remember we were sitting in our restaurant there at Temuk Hospital. So I just asked her, and I thought she might say no comment. Or I said, hey, your father, tell me about your dad when he's not behind the microphone, when he's at home. Mm. And she said this: my dad is the same at home in private as he is in public. He's the real deal.
Oh, my
goodness. That's what she told me at that time.
Sweet kid.
Now, I skipped over. You mentioned Shirley. So what is Shirley doing these days?
Shirley finished 25 years as chairman of the National Day of Prayer. She is now retired from that, and she is supporting me, and we're enjoying life together.
I understand Ryan has a speaking ministry of his own these days.
He does. It's a podcast that's heard all around the world, and he loves the Lord, and he's using that podcast to strengthen families. He has most of the same values that I have. And I'm very proud of him, too. He's married, and he has two children that are my two and only grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
One of them just turned 13 last week. So they live about 10 minutes away from here, so it's really a pleasure.
Wow. Sounds like the apple fell very close to the tree there with Ryan.
That is something I'm very proud of.
Well, tell us about the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute and your radio program, Family Talk. How has that evolved?
Well, let me give you a little history. I founded Focus on the Family in 1977 and was there for 33 years before leaving there in February 26, 2010. And the very next day, I went to the National Religious Broadcasters Convention and announced my intention of creating a new ministry called Family Talk. And as it's grown and we have more dimensions than just radio, we now call it the James Dobson Family Institute. And we'll celebrate that occasion of 10 years on February 27, 2020. So we're right around the corner, and the beat goes on.
Your influence today in the public square continues. Can you just talk to us about what your passion is these days in the public square?
You know, it has been my pleasure to serve actually four presidents. The fifth one put me on an assignment, and I received a commendation from Jimmy Carter, but the other four have been in office when I had the opportunity to advise them on the family. The first one was Ronald Reagan back in 1984, sitting at the table with nothing between us but jelly beans. And the president asked me the first question, and I loved it. The question is, what can I do to help the family, to help the family, to help preserve the family? And I gave him four answers to that of what he could do. And he made executive decisions creating all four of those requests. I got back from that meeting and the White House called and asked to have what I said in writing. And from that came the changes in the law.
Wow. Amen. And praise God. Even with all of that, Dr. Dobson, in the 90s, you had looked ahead and you were concerned about what was going to happen to the family in America in terms of the way our public policy was going, where we might be headed. So what is your analysis today of where we are and what are the issues? What are the moral issues that are hanging in the balance in the U.S. culture today?
Well, I have written out the four, as a matter of fact, the top 10 major issues that are hanging in the balance at this stage in American culture. And I can just enumerate them for you. They're not in order of importance. These are the 10 that I'm most concerned about.
Yes.
And you would not be surprised by any of them. The sanctity of human life, traditional biblical marriage, parental rights, which are under assault. People don't realize how much of parental guidance is now being influenced by the government, by the far left. Righteousness in the culture is number four. The right, for example, to evangelize according to Jesus' great commission to us all. Number five, religious liberty in all of its contexts. Number six, the assault on children that's starting in kindergarten now. That really breaks my heart. We could talk about that. Number seven is the makeup of the Supreme Court and the judiciary, because the courts increasingly are making decisions that affect the family. All of these are family related. It's not, I get frustrated when people talk about our being involved in politics. It's not politics I care about. It's the influence of government on family life. Number eight is school choice. Number nine is the entire LGBTQ agenda. And that one I'm most concerned about. I'd probably put that number one because the influence on children.
Yes.
And 10, fetal tissue research and other aspects of medical ethics. Now, I don't know if I sat and thought about it, I might have 20 more. But that's a place to start anyway.
Well, I've been reading a number of books recently by various authors, Christian authors, who are trying to be hopeful and to spur the church and followers of Christ in America today on toward prayer and restoration. What do you think's key for American restoration to return to any semblance of respect for biblical values?
I would probably put the word courage at the top of the list.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have the courage to be vilified, called names, being treated disrespectfully, and that's what is necessary if we're going to be able to overcome the power and influence of the media and political correctness. If you go with the flow there, they will pull us right out of the issues that we care about most, and primarily, almost essentially, the biblical understandings of what God wants us to do. The culture has just drifted farther than anyone would have expected. In your field and mine too, just think of how it has changed. Who would have believed even 15 years ago that parents would not be able to seek mental health guidance and correction and direction for their, say, teenagers or even younger who have sexually identity problems? They're telling us that I can't go to a licensed counselor and have them help me with that.
Right.
The government now makes that illegal, and I could lose my license if I practice in that way. It just, there's so many of those kind of things. I made reference to this earlier. I just cannot imagine how in California and Massachusetts and now Colorado to a degree, they began telling children as young as five, certainly 6, 8, 9, and 10, that you as a little boy or little girl don't have to be what you think you were born to be, that this can be changed. It's your choice. You're not really a boy or a girl, but that's the way the culture has taught you.
Yes.
And therefore, if you don't like it, you can change and then go into the medical and hormonal changes that can be made for, and even surgery to become something else. And if your parents don't like it, that's too bad. You're not able to opt out of that kind of training. Here in Colorado, for example, that not only frustrates me, it makes me angry.
Sure.
Because children are so easily influenced. You know, you can tell a five-year-old that Santa Claus can go down every chimney in the entire world in a single night and he'll believe it. So whatever is told by people in authority, they tend to believe. You can manipulate those children to be anything you want them to be, which reminds me of Adolf Hitler in 1939, where he said, the adults who are out there don't really matter. We have their children. That's all that matters. And they did. They have the children. And I tell you, many of the public schools have our children already, and they're taking them in godless directions, where little kids can make decisions that will affect them physically 20, 30, and 40 years later if they are given access to some of the medical procedures mm-hmm. that are now available. So I'm just very concerned about where the culture is going, and the institution of the family is in the bullseye. They're going to take it down if they can.
Well, Dr. Dobson, we certainly at CMDA very much agree with you, and we, in some respects, our members, especially our pediatricians or pediatric endocrinologists, many of our surgical specialists are in the crosshairs these days. We're pleased that just a couple weeks ago that we did get a favorable ruling in a court in Texas that put a permanent injunction against what we called the transgender mandate back in the summer of 2016, which was going to force doctors of faith and Christians in healthcare to have to provide a service if requested. I want to go back to your comment about courage, because I guess in my lifetime, I think the antithesis of courage would be abdication. And there has been a tendency for Christians in our culture over the last 30 or 40 years, in spite of hearing your challenges to us on biblical values for the family, to, when things got hot, would be to abdicate and leave and move on somewhere else. And what I'm seeing today in healthcare, Dr. Dobson, is that something very similar, in that the heat is being turned up in certain specialties. And I have heard from very strong followers of Christ, Christians in healthcare, whose children are interested in medicine, who've told them, you can't go into OBGYN because it's too hot. There's too much antagonism. There'll be too much suffering. So what words of challenge would you have for our members in terms of battling for biblical values?
Well, I don't want to wander into a political arena where people would be made uncomfortable. But we just have to fight that like crazy. I mean, how dare anyone tell me how I can serve my Lord? And when it comes to those issues, if they don't like it, that's really too bad. Back in the 1980s, I had a vice president on my staff who came to me, and he said, I have to give you some advice. I said, okay. He said, you know, if you continue to talk about abortion and homosexuality and these controversial things, people are not going to support you. This ministry called Focus on the Family will not survive. And I said to him on that day, I remember it as though it were yesterday, I said, let me remind you of something. I don't own this place.
Mm-hmm.
I don't own Focus on the Family.
Mm-hmm.
It is here because God put it here, and he provides for it as long as I assume he wants it here. And if we ever get to the point that he doesn't want it to happen and continue, we'll go do something else. And if people don't want to support it, I assume that's because God is not talking to his people about it. So we pressed ahead and the ministry went through the roof. And it's been that way. And then now it's that way here at James Dobson Family Institute. I am not under that kind of pressure because the world has changed and Christian people now know that they're under assault. So they're not trying to get me to back off. If anything, they're saying, do it. Mm-hmm. You're representing what we believe. And so we're pleased to do so.
Well, I just heard the other day, Dr. Dobson, a quote that I'm going to remember for a while was, hey, you may not be interested in politics, but politics is sure interested in you. And we can't get away from the fact that our lives are being impacted by what our government decides to do. And I would say for most healthcare professionals, if they were like me, especially when I was clinically very busy surgeon, keeping my head down and taking care of patients. And I have had some queries from some of our members. Hey, Mike, why all of this talk about public policy? We need to be talking about more about evangelism and discipleship. And while I absolutely concur, I want to challenge any of my colleagues and friends in healthcare to ramp up evangelism and discipleship efforts of staff and patients and family. I guess I feel that it is time that we have to step up to the plate and be courageous and defend truth and respect for our patients and their dignity, but at the same time defending truth. When you talked about standing up for life, I was reminded of someone I'm sure we both have the greatest respect for. Billy Graham did the same thing in the civil rights movement in the 1960s when he was told the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association is going to go down the tubes if you do not allow segregation in a place in the South where he was having a crusade. And he, like you, refused to back down. And of course, we know the history of that Billy Graham was blessed and was a forerunner, a leader in terms of bringing some racial reconciliation.
I had such profound respect for him. And I never had an opportunity to interview him.
Wow.
I regret that. But I knew him and was with him a number of times and spoke at his rallies. And there will never be another man like him, I don't think.
Well, I do want to ask you one question. My my childhood or teenage time, because I still remember the first VHS tape that my parents put in the tape player. And we watched a younger James Dobson giving a talk about parenting, I think at a conference in Southern California before you moved. And then later came along Adventures in Odyssey. whose idea was that? Was that your idea? Was that somebody else?
I tell you what, that was my idea. I was advised not to do it because people who know Christian radio said there's no place for drama and children's programming on Christian radio. And man, that was not good advice. So I had the idea, but I can't take the credit for the production of it because that was done by professionals that had skill I didn't have, and Hollywood actors, and most of them are Christian. It had a great foundation, and when I meet people on the street today, especially millennials and people who are younger, that's what they remember about me. If I'm talking to older people, 50-plus, they remember Dare to Discipline and
yes,
some of the early books and so on. But I know what era they came out of by what they remember.
Well, there are just so many guests that came through on your program. But the one interview that I remember, you were talking about, is it better to be lenient or hard on your kids in terms of discipline? And I still remember your answer. You know what? You love your kids, and whether you're erring a little bit on the lenient side or a little bit on the strong and legalistic and disciplined side, God's grace is enough to handle the mistakes that we make. And I have lived with that statement raising four kids, Dr. Dobson.
We all make them, and it's very easy to get discouraged as parents because raising kids is one complicated thing. I read the other day that the human brain is more complicated than anything we know of in the entire universe. Mm-hmm. So imagine having the opportunity to raise those kids from birth, to introduce them to the God we love, and to teach them to serve their fellow man, and to keep them safe and pure from the wickedness that surrounds them. I've often described that as being like a river that flows in one direction. And the river has a way, it's the culture. The river is the culture. And if you aren't fighting the direction the river is going, it'll carry you downstream inevitably toward things that are harmful. And so for you as parents to help them navigate those waters, that's a major challenge. If I can continue, the comment that you made about harshness and leniency, on the cover of my first book, Dare to Discipline, is the first book for parents. I wrote a textbook for medical students, but the first book that I wrote for parents had a triangle there representing a fulcrum, and there's a line across the top of the triangle, and on one side was love, control was on the other side.
Uh-huh.
And your job as a parent is to keep those in balance. You flip it in either direction and you create problems for the child. You get too harsh, we know where that leads. You get too lenient, that also permissiveness leads in a bad direction. So you want to balance those two, and that's, you need God's help to do that.
Wow. Amen. Thank you for those challenges over decades. So 30 years ago, as you look someday that maybe Danae or Ryan would have children, you'd be a grandfather. Have there been any surprises once you put those shoes on of a grandfather now that you're there?
Well, it's a lot more fun, to raise grandkids. Somebody said it's because you can send them home after they've been to see you. But I love my grandkids, and it is different because you don't bear the final responsibility. And so what you do primarily is you care for them and love them. And there's a little discipline involved, but that's up to the parents.
Well, Dr. Dobson, I know that there are crosshairs on every Christian leader, and maybe the bigger the role and responsibility, the more the enemy tries to bring us down. And as I shared with you earlier, your daughter Danae's words ring in my ears. My dad is the real deal, the same at home as he is out in public. I would just really cherish you answering this question. How, over all the years, were you able to follow Solomon's admonition in Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life?
You know, there is a scripture in 1 Chronicles 28:9 that I love, and it's where David is now ill, and as a matter of fact, he was dying, and he knew it. And he called his advisors in, and they were all standing around his bed. And then he called for Solomon, who was designated to be his successor as king over Israel. And he began talking to Solomon. And you know, when a man is dying and he's talking to his son or daughter, he doesn't mince words. He doesn't make it up as he goes along. He had been thinking about what he wanted to say to Solomon, obviously. And I want to tell you what he said exactly from that reference. As for you, my son Solomon, get to know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. Here's the quote. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. What powerful words for a parent, and particularly in this instance, a father, to say to his son, this is what I care about most. Don't forget this. This is what matters most. Get to know the God of your father. And I've tried to do that. Shirley and I fasted, she more than me. And we just every day would come back to him and say, Lord, We care about a lot of things. We care about health. We care about our ministry. We care about this and that. But above all else, we ask you to be there in that moment when our kids grow up and they're beyond our reach. Put somebody... I'm sorry, I get emotional about it today.
It's okay.
Put someone in that point when they can go either way. They can go toward righteousness or into wickedness and evil. Put somebody there to influence when our influence is no longer quite as relevant. And the Lord answered those prayers in both cases with our children, and I'm grateful to Him for that more than any other blessing.
Well, thank you for those words. I really identify with them right now, and I'm sure many of our listeners can identify that with right now. And I was with a pastor and his wife this last weekend, and I was just picking their brains about my age and have a young adult kids, and just we read and I told them that this interview was coming, and they said, "Well, we read all of Dr. Dobson's things, but we just still were not prepared for how difficult it would be to be parents of young adults," and just realizing that they've launched and we don't have any control whatsoever. And so thank you for that challenge for all of us as parents of young adults to pray and ask God to bring others into their lives and trust Him that His love for them is so much greater than anything we can muster for our own kids.
This in ministry that the Lord has put me in, He kind of picked me up and put me in the wake or the pathway of a culture that was growing increasingly dark, and it came right through me the late 60s and the 70s when things became so evil. And God has blessed what I've done, but I don't think it had much to do with me. When my dad was coming down to the end of his life, he was a prayer warrior, and he sometimes prayed 3 or 4 hours a day. And he was praying about his own ministry, and he was saying, "Lord, give me a few more years to win people for Christ." He was a minister. And he prayed 3 days and 3 nights for that particular issue, as well as for his brother-in-law who was dying of cancer, and he was praying for both of them. And I learned 7 years later when he told my aunt something that he never had a chance to tell me. Mm-hmm. About dawn that morning, the Lord spoke to him. And he didn't say that flippantly. When he said it, you knew he meant it. And he said, "The Lord told me that He is going to hear your," speaking to my daddy, "you're going to hear His prayer. And I'm going to answer it, but it's not going to be through you. It's going to be through your son, and he's going to reach millions of people around the world." My dad had a major heart attack the next day, from which he never recovered.
Wow.
And that prayer has been on my shoulder. I've felt it in these 42 years that I've been trying to serve the Lord, because it was God's answer to my father's prayer that has followed me, and I'm very grateful for it.
Well, Dr. Dobson, I don't know if the number of listeners over the years has passed 1 billion, but probably. And so we're all quite delighted that you left the University of Southern California School of Medicine and decided to follow another path, and that has had an incredible impact. And I think in heaven someday you'll be able to have a better understanding. But I know that having heard from your heart over the years, that you're going to be casting your crown down before the Father, and as you've already done, not taking the credit but giving it to a loving Father, and hearing those 7 words that we all long to hear: "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Thank you.
Listen, if I can be a doorkeeper, that'll satisfy me. Let me in.
A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else.
Right.
All right. Well, from the Christian Medical Dental Associations and our members, we wish God's richest blessings upon your James Dobson Family Institute, and may he keep you around. And you and Shirley, please pass our greetings to Shirley and my personal greetings to Danae, whether or not she remembers me sitting on that veranda back at Tenbrook Hospital. God bless you, Dr. Dobson.
Thank you, Dr. Chep, and I appreciate the interview and all the work that you're doing.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this inaugural edition of CMDA Matters. Why does CMDA matter? Because we are all about motivating and educating and equipping you to glorify God. And we at CMDA trust that that's a top priority for you as you practice in whatever specialty that you've been trained in healthcare, that you desire to glorify God. Well, until next week, I'm your host, Dr. Mike Chupp. And this is CMDA Matters. God bless you.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.